This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app online, tsn1050.ca. Kristen Shilton will join us in about 10 minutes, our Maple Leaf reporter. She was in Buffalo yesterday for that debacle. That was brutal yesterday. Just a terrible effort by the Maple Leafs, and they cannot find a way to separate themselves. I mean, Florida's been awful. They've really been terrible, and the Leafs have gained no separation.
Yeah.
And they've got a really difficult schedule coming up. We detailed it in the previous hour. They have a home-and-home against Pittsburgh this week.
Yeah.
That's as tough as it gets the way Pittsburgh's playing. And Carolina on Saturday. They're scrappy. They're going to fight. There. They're right there. And three left against Tampa. At Boston, at Washington. Teams like the Islanders, teams like Vancouver.
Columbus.
Nashville, Columbus. Like, they got some good teams waiting for them here. They got 22 games to go. I don't know what the number's going to be. Trying to predict that at this point is somewhat of a futile experience because, I mean, 94 might get in the way these two teams are playing. Or you might need 98.
I keep thinking it's mid-90s. It's not 98 or 99. I keep thinking that it's going to be like 94, 95.
Well, let's get there then. Who cares
and
how?
And what scares me, I keep saying this, but it's regulation wins. ROW and regulation wins. And they kept two weekends in a row. They won in overtime. And you know, like, I know it may not seem like much, but when you are flat out against another team, and let's say that it comes down to the last game of the season and both teams win or something and you got the same amount of points, then you start going to these tiebreakers. Who the hell knows?
Well, that's it.
That's the scary part.
Yeah, it is. And they've got to beat Florida. Like, Florida's got you twice.
Right.
So you got to beat them. You got to beat them both times to make your life easy.
Yeah.
Like, you got two more against Florida. You got to win both. If you do that, you're probably going to have some breathing room. But if you keep, you know, choking away points to Florida the way that they have already this year twice, specifically a week ago tonight. And
what was it? 3-1 in the third period or 3-0?
Yeah, it was 3-1.
3-1.
And That's the most frustrating part about this Maple Leaf team is the amount of times they have a game, or at least have a point.
Yeah,
not right. That much time to go, and you can't get home and steal at least have a point against Buffalo when you're tied 2-2 in the third. You can't get a point out of Buffalo when it's 2-2 in the third. You're up 1-0 against Montreal, a team that, you know, had their struggles, and they were lucky to get a point. Montreal had shot them 16-1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But how many times have we witnessed that where it's like you're there. Just, you know, get home. Get home and get a point or find a way to get two. But seizing the moment is very difficult for this team. They just don't have that ability right now, and they haven't had it all year.
Well, you got to have that killer instinct, and you got to develop it somehow, and you got to have that urgency. We'll see this week. You know, the one thing I've noticed, they've played down to their competition. Let's see if they play up to their competition.
They don't have a choice.
Well, they do.
No choice.
You're right.
Or it'll get ugly.
They have to. You know, side note, we didn't bring it up, but I don't even know how to bring it up. But did you guys see Paul Stanley's hair on fire?
that is kiss? The best video.
That could be one of the greatest videos I've ever seen in my life.
I don't think it's Stanley. I think it's a cover band.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't a real Kiss guy.
It looks like Stan. I mean, how could you tell? They're dressed like
they
got painting and everything.
The guitarist, I know, but like that flat out looked like Paul Stanley.
It looks that's the easiest band to be a cover band of because as long as you have the hair and the makeup, it's unless you're like you lose yourself, you're 320 up there on the.
Well, the guy that matted down his hair was so calm and collected, like it was standard procedure.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the pyro's got the guy's hair again.
It's like, oh, geez, this guy's hair's on fire again.
But cover band, that's a pretty.
It looked like a big crowd.
I was going to say, like, to be a cover band. That usually play in a bar. Like, that's a significant concert with pyros.
You're right. I think that's Stanley. And it sounded like Paul Stanley. Like, it sounded like
the fact
like
that
him.
He didn't break stride and the two roadies just chipping away at his hair.
It's amazing.
And he just kept singing like nothing.
Yeah.
And man, did that hair light on. What the hell kind of product did he have in there?
I think it might be fake hair.
Well, it's for sure fake
like,
hair and hairspray.
But like, it's significantly fake.
That was a
that
full
was covered in what, gasoline?
I don't know.
His hair lit on fire.
A spark lit it on fire like I've never seen.
I was howling watching that.
I've watched it 150 times.
It's so good.
Because I can't. I was like you. I'm trying to figure out if that was him or if that was a cover band or what that was. But the fact one roadie came up with a fire extinguisher, the other one was just using his hand to fix his hair.
The first guy came in with the hand and he realized.
That was the guitarist.
Okay, so
he
there
was
you
playing
go.
The guitar and he walked over and tried to like bat it out and was. And then he waved to the roadies, I can't do this, I gotta keep the beat.
There it is. You can see it online at TSN1050.ca.
That's the guitarist.
Yeah.
And then he waves.
Look at that hair on fire, dude. Like, what is he wearing on his skull? That wouldn't affect you enough to say I'm not going to continue to play.
I'm not even breaking stride.
Like he hits every note.
Yeah,
doesn't miss.
He's singing
a chord.
Detroit Rock City.
His
I love
skull
that song.
Had to have been on fire, like it, like just steaming hot.
Yeah, he had to have.
Like
his,
he was
his,
holding it together, but deep down he was like, my head is on fire.
Yeah, there's no way you would want
to
panic mode, unless it's happened before. Unless that's every single stop on the tour, that guy's. Salad
like, yeah,
goes
again.
On fire.
Oh, his salad's on fire again. Here, it's your turn.
There
you
we go.
Well, put out Paul's hair.
We got to do that soon, by the way. The salad rebuild version 2. He's going in.
Oh, well, yeah. Paul Stanley.
He's going in.
Yeah,
we
Paul
just have
Stanley,
to find out.
Right.
We need verification if it's actually Paul Stanley or if it's like a cover band.
Reading the remarks underneath the tweet that we found. And again, I think we tweeted out on the Overdrive account. Grapples, you can retweet it. It's out there somewhere. Megan just had it up online and at Overdrive 1050. Someone wrote underneath that it was like a cover band, but I have no idea if that person has a clue.
Right.
I think you just assume when you see something that stupid that it has to be a cover band because he's like, I have to get through this or we're going to lose our gig.
Well,
or,
don't you think like, yeah, you'd think if that was really Paul Stanley.
He'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, like I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm
no way.
Because I think Paul Stanley, for the most part, had real hair. Like,
but
now
you're
that,
right about that. That level of...
Like pyro and stuff, like that's not just...
That costs a lot of money.
Yeah, that's not playing the Orbit Room.
No.
On college.
Yeah,
like that's a big crowd somewhere that where they flat out have pyro. And this guy is just...
Like, that guy is on tour specifically in case his hair goes on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, his job. If that guy's hair is lit on fire, you go put it out.
You're up.
We're
going to pay you 70 grand for the tour, cash. Yeah. And if my hair goes on fire.
Do a roundup after the show, and if I light on fire, put me out.
You're up.
I couldn't stop watching that. Like, that's like, because at first I was like, this is, it's fake. I thought it was fake for sure. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But good on...
Yeah, someone texting in saying it is definitely a cover band. They're called Hairball. There's no way that's true. That's fake news.
Hairball. That is fake news,
no
pal.
Way.
Although that would be
it.
Beautiful if it was.
Hairball's hair.
Imagine it was Hairball and the lead singer, his hair caught on fire.
We'd have to get that guy on. Like, we'll Stinky see if we can interview
him. Should. Who would you rather interview in that instance? The guy who had his hair on fire or the... Fire diffuser. Yeah, the diffuser, I think, would be the better interview.
No, I want the guitarist, the guy playing Ace Frehley. Like, did you know your hair was on fire? And at what point would you have bailed? Because he was flat out singing Detroit Rock City and hitting every note and playing the guitar to it.
I love the... We should all... I almost... If it wasn't so unsafe... I wouldn't mind trying to reenact this, like in the...
Like just get a giant wig and light it on fire?
Yeah. Like that's the dumbest thing you could ever possibly do. And there's no way TSN would allow us to do it. But how is that guy's cranium not
scalded.
Melting? Like how is his scalp not melting?
I wonder if we...
He looks like Freddy Krueger.
I wonder if Mulls could pull the sound of it because he doesn't break... Like notes
Nothing.
Or anything.
Notes and chords, he's spot
he's
on.
He's spot on, and then at the end, he gives like a hand up, like it keeps rolling. Like,
oh, he knew his head was on fire.
Detroit. Like, it is crazy.
The best thing is if he's playing, if that's in like Sarnia or something, like why are you fighting through a crowd of about 300 people? you probably make it about 250 for the whole night.
But that's the scary part is they've got to be a big band. Like, yeah. to me, to be playing with that amount of pyro and stuff like that, like, there's a band, a famous band in L.A. called Steel Panther. They used to play the House of Blues, and they play cover tunes, and they are arguably better than the band, the tunes that they play.
These guys play better than Kiss.
That's what I
if
mean.
If that's
live.
A cover band, they're better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Steel Panther in L.A., like, destroy it. And they have a huge following. So I could see a band like Steel Panther having that.
What
Isn't that ridiculous?
Do after the show? Like, just fire his head right in the toilet?
Yeah, like Harry in Home Alone 2, when his head goes on fire, he just finds a toilet and does a handstand and dunks it in.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, someone tweeting right underneath, you're on fire. No, you're on fire. Imagine you thought it was a compliment.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, thanks. Thumbs up. He's handing out thumbs up.
I'm doing really good right now.
We're crushing
you're on
it.
Fire. Yeah.
You got any girls you want to meet backstage? Bring them back. No. You're literally on fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex Anthopoulos will join us in about 20 minutes. Kristen Chilton, our Maple Leaf reporter, who is in Buffalo. And, Sheldon Keefe had some... He was scathing in his analysis last night.
Yeah.
Like, he was legitimately rattled. And they continue to tell people that there's an illness that they're dealing with, which I don't dispute. But I'm pretty sure every team in the league this time of year, you're dealing with a lot. The injuries, Morgan Riley is a very significant injury. And it was just a matter of time until you felt that injury. And I think they have been feeling it recently, and they will continue to until he returns.
For sure.
But... citing Janssen, citing Mikheyev, citing Cody Ceci, that, with all the respect to those players, those are not high-impact guys that you simply cannot survive without.
Exactly.
And Freddie's healthy. Jack Campbell's played well. And, again, they went through a 9-game stretch since the beginning of February, arguably their easiest stretch. One regulation win, 9 points in 9 games.
That's tough.
And I'm curious, what is their mood? Do these guys, because I've always had the impression they're a confident group, that they exude confidence maybe that is not warranted necessarily.
What's their sense of where they're at?
Because if it's not feeling desperate at this point.
Yeah.
You have to
wake up.
Yeah, you have to have that desperate mindset, especially going into this week, a home and home against Pittsburgh. That's a really huge
challenge.
And it's an opportunity for them to
prove that you're legit and prove that you really want the playoff spot.
By the way, that band is called Hairball.
Hairball.
Are you being serious right now?
It's confirmed. Friend of the show sent me an article. They are called Hairball.
Tux,
there you go.
Fan.
Get them. Grappler, you have one job between now and the rest of time.
Yeah.
Everyone involved in that video has to be on.
The lead singer of Hairball.
Yes. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. She was in Buffalo yesterday. Here's our Maple Leaf reporter, Kristen Chilton, on Family Day of all days. Thank you for doing this, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we were just talking about the mood around the team. I mean, you're around the team daily. I have to believe there's a sense of desperation. 22 games to go. They're in a playoff race. They haven't been playing well. Sheldon Keefe calling them out post game. Do you sense desperation being around this team?
Well, I will say the answers post game seem to be getting a lot shorter, and there seems to be a lot less explanation for what's going on the ice, because I'm not sure that even they knew last night exactly how that game got away from them the way that it did. But it's such a pattern now that you can see it a little bit more and a little bit more after these losses, just a little bit more defeated, a little bit more, just frustrated and I think confused about why a team with this much talent can't seem to score goals for long stretches of time. I mean, you've got two or three in a game, but you would think, why can't they put up four or five? They get great opportunities, breakaway chances, but the pucks aren't going in. And when they don't go in, the Leafs have no resolve when pucks go in the other way. And so that's how these things seem to keep piling up. And so the mood has just, it's been a little bit worse and a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And even games that they win, it doesn't seem as high as it used to. It's still we're still in such a battle. We're still in this place where there's a lot of hockey left, but it's dwindling. So I thought, you know, Keefe's comments last night, I thought in the morning that maybe there wasn't enough urgency from the coach, like his messaging, maybe there wasn't enough urgency, but you could tell after the game that he was certainly letting it be known that, I mean, when you call out your team's depth, basically, that's a pretty strong message to send.
Well, he makes those comments. In your opinion, when you look at the situation, how come when Babcock makes the same remarks, everybody went nuts and said, "Well, there's problems with him and Dubas, and it's just it went and people were going crazy." And he did, and then a lot of the comments I've heard from people when Keefe said, "Well, he's right, so he can make the comments."
Yeah, very similar. They're very similar to what Babcock would say.
It is, and you know what? I actually thought that as well, that there's such an aura around Keefe where it's almost like you're not allowed to criticize him. You're not allowed to criticize his coaching or his methods or what he's doing because he's been so much the opposite of Babcock. He's the guy who will play his big boys for 25 minutes a game. He will allow for, you know, more creativity. He's encouraging. He is sort of the anti-Babcock in so many ways, that to criticize him is almost blasphemous. People don't like it. They think he came into a bad situation and he got them back in a playoff picture. What he's doing is right. The way that he's handling things is right. And that's the way that it is. Whereas with Babcock, it was like he couldn't do anything the right way. That his method, the way that he spoke out, he would be blunt and we would jump all over him and say, "No, you can't possibly be criticizing the GM because it's not the GM's fault. You're the one who's not playing Austin Matthews enough. You're the one who's, you know, relying on Martin Marincin when you shouldn't be." So it is an interesting dynamic because what Keefe is saying is really exactly what Babs would say, which was that, you know, they're not getting enough secondary scoring. They don't have guys who can keep up with what this team is supposed to be able to do, which is score goals and play on offense and not be stuck in their own zone because they always have the puck. That's what the identity of the Leafs is supposed to be. They're built to play fast and to play on offense, and that's not happening enough. So I think it's really just about the fact that Keefe came in, he had the relationship with Dubas, Dubas picked him for this role, and so that gets him a free pass to be able to criticize, where for Mike Babcock, that wasn't there. It was just that he was being negative, and that's why his players didn't want to play for him, was because he was so negative. But what Keefe's saying is exactly the same thing, and yet players say they appreciate the fact that he can give them a stern talking to and that they actually see that as being a benefit, whereas before we all talked about it like what Mike was doing was wrong. So it is a very interesting dynamic now.
Kristen, we were talking about before you came on, you know, there is some, I guess, built-in excuses there. There's, you know, the injury to Morgan Rielly, you know, Johnsson, who hasn't had a great season, but he's a guy who can play in your top nine and who has scored 20 in the league. And, you know, I don't know if it's a mystery illness, but guys, I think the flu bug has gone around, not just the Leafs, but the whole league. It happens. Mm-hmm. And are they using that card at all? Do you sense around? Or is it just more, hey, we're trying to find our game night in and night out? Like, I kind of sense there's a little bit of excuse making on that side, too.
Well, John Tavares did acknowledge last night that it probably was a factor that you've played four games in six nights, and there is obviously the flu bug going around. He was asked if he is still dealing with that, and he denied it. He just said no. He was like, no, flu isn't a factor for him personally, but it has clearly been going around. I mean, Matthews was clearly ill with something. Like, when we were around him, you could tell that it was either a flu or a cold or something going on with him. So even guys who didn't miss games were clearly dealing with something. But it would be, to me, it's just that it's not like this sort of, these letdowns they have in the third where they don't seem to have their legs and they seem fatigued. It's not a recent issue. It's not like something that just cropped up in the last week and when the flu bug started going around. This has been a problem for this team for a long time. And just because there's been stretches where they've played better and they've held better leads in the third and they have looked to have had more energy in the third, it's always there. And it's that they start games slowly and they finish them well, or they start well and they can't finish them. So conditioning, to me, is the bigger question. Has there been a conditioning problem throughout the season where the reason that Tavares is still talking about their inability to play a full 60 minutes, does that have to do with something more long-term throughout the season where, yes, you're playing a lot of games, but so is every other team. Yes, there's been injuries, and you can't minimize what not having Morgan Rielly does to this team, but every team will lose a key player at some point. And it's just, it's been consistent. It's been one of the most consistent things, actually, about the Leafs is that they have been so consistent in their inconsistency. And I don't think that you can deny that there have been, it has been more difficult lately. Not that I've heard anyone really use it as an excuse other than acknowledging that it's been a factor. But at the same time, those things haven't been, it's not like these things are just happening right now. They have needed to be eradicated for a long time, and the Leafs are just running out of time in which they're going to be able to get rid of some of those bad habits and then turn, you know, become a real contender if they get into the postseason.
You can find her on Twitter and on Instagram at Kristen_Shilton. No one covers the team like Kristen does. She was there yesterday. Again, on Twitter, on Instagram, on TSN.ca, and always on TSN Radio. Always great catching up with you, Kristen. Thank you for doing this. We'll do it again down the road.
Thanks, guys.
There's Kristen Shilton joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland. Alex Anthopoulos coming up. He's got a new title, new extension, locked in. So the dream of him returning to Toronto,
it's gone.
Not going to happen for the next 3 or 4 years anyway. Not that that was a reality. I mean, I think once he moved on, he was probably prepared to put that behind him, but... Yeah. Shapiro and Atkins are locked in. They're confident. First day of spring training, official spring training today.
How confident are you, though? That's the question.
Well, I'm not overly confident this year.
Is it an 80-win team?
I think they might be able to creep up on 80. Yeah, I think if they're healthy. If the rotation is healthy, I think they can get close to 80.
Yeah.
But I don't see them as a playoff team. I don't see them really that close to a playoff team. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't picture it happening.
They don't care because guess what? We'll watch every day.
Yeah, but those ticket sales have dropped precipitously, man, in the past couple of years.
Well, didn't they kind of perk up a little bit when Ryu signed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'll get a bit of a boost. Yeah, and you get a full year out of Bo and a full year out of Vladdy and Biggio. Like, the boys, they're here now.
Yeah.
So you know when you go to the park, you're going to see them.
I would go to the park just to watch Bichette. He's the guy I would pay to watch.
I think he's the face of the team.
Even Vlad for me.
Yeah, like
it's Bichette.
For years it was Vlad. Now this is subject to change.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, wait till Vladdy. Like Vladdy kind of, I don't want to say he was overhyped because he was the number one prospect in baseball.
Appropriately hyped, but underperformed.
Correct. Wait, what if he achieves what everyone expected this year?
I think he probably
then you're
will.
Then you're going to go to watch him.
I think it comes down to the arbitrary nature of, you know, defining who the face of the franchise is. It's not only about what you do on the field. Like, right. Bichette's got the looks. You know, he speaks English. Vladdy doesn't speak English as well, so he's not going to be able to give you that many...
Yeah, the sound bites.
Sound bites and stuff like that. Like, Bichette's going to speak on behalf of the team almost every day.
You've been using big words of late, and I'm noticing it, and I don't approve.
Precipitous is an all-time.
Do you have a calendar where you open it and it's a new word every?
No,
I don't. I think you hear a word in like a Netflix series, and you're like, I am tossing that out today, and you're not fooling anyone.
Yeah, it was an unnecessary
word. This is sports radio.
It was an unnecessary.
For many years, it was egregious, which I
egregious.
Think I think we all.
You guys have taken that.
I love that.
I don't own it anymore.
I love that.
I leased that word out to the whole show, but precipitous is mine. And I own it, and I love it.
You know what?
You don't even know what it means. What does precipitous mean? Rainfall.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know what? You know what your word is, and you lease it out to us.
Ultimately,
yes, guy.
Yes, guy.
There is a guy listening right now on this way home that just drove off the road.
He's in his underpants in his basement.
He will not be happy about that guy.
And he's so horny when Dan O'Toole says yes, guy, and then he writes a little asterisk and says, used with permission.
That's right. Hey, giving a little shout out to the Tap Man.
Tap Man has his vinyl records cooking right now and just Fruit of the Loom whiteies.
I wonder if he's listening to any Hairball right now.
Hairball cooking.
I hope they have Hairball vinyl. Apparently they're from Minnesota.
And
the guy, it was his real hair.
He's quoted.
He said, that was my real hair. I knew it was on fire. And he said, now, like, I had to get my hair cut after the show. This guy's so committed.
It's melted to his head.
Yeah. Imagine being in a cover band and saying, I don't care. I'm getting to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That'll put you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right there.
Step aside.
By the way, what an effort by the other guitarist. He kind of gives it a squat with his right hand and then goes back to playing.
Yeah. And then points. Points to the roadies. Go out and deal with this.
Yeah.
Hey, his hair's on fire again.
Find out if they're ever in Toronto.
He slapped the back of his head once. The guy's hair was on fire.
We have to go see Hairball. If they're in Toronto ever, we have to
make
a night of it.
We're going to have them in studio.
I want to talk to that man that's hair was on fire.
Yeah. I want to talk to the roadie. I want to talk to the lead singer, the guitarist with a half-assed effort.
I want someone in the crowd.
I want the guitarist's, like, his view of it. Like, you know what?
If anyone knows someone that was 10 feet away from that incident, we want their number.
Well, it sounds like it was in Sioux City, Iowa, I believe.
So, that's a big market, man. It's a big market. Got to own it. Iowa's a big state. That's the home of our boy.
I love this.
Yeah. All right, Alex Anthopoulos will join us. We'll get his take on hiring John Gibbons, who's now a member of the Braves organization. His new title and the responsibilities that come with that. And is baseball burning because of what's going on with Houston? We'll get that answer next.
Such a good song. This was one of my favorite songs growing up.
Is this Kiss or Hairball?
Who
is this?
Detroit Rock City by Kiss.
But it should be by Hairball.
It should be by Hairball.
Like, if you're so committed to playing a track that your hair is on fire, literally your hair, not a wig, your hair is on fire, because Paul Stanley wouldn't continue. He'd say, I'm out of here.
Oh, for sure.
He'd say, I hate you guys. I told you I didn't want the fire. I told you to watch it, because I said, if my hair goes on fire, one of you guys is going to take a beating. This dude just kept playing.
It's almost like the pyrotechnics were, instead of going up, they were aimed straight at the back of his head.
Right at his salad. Like, his lettuce is on fire on stage.
That's a tough phone call. Your wife asks you, how was the show tonight?
Well, I'm just taking my head out of the toilet because my hair was on fire, so I had to cool down.
Yeah. Oh, you must have left the show.
No,
we just kept playing.
Yeah, trending on Twitter now.
Well, did you stop for a minute and make sure that your hair stopped being on fire?
No, it's just...
No, we just kept playing.
Melted to my collar now.
Yeah. All right, so we've got a guy on the line here. Friend of the show. We've had him on many, many times.
Yes, we love him.
He's got a new title down in Atlanta. He's been the GM there for a while, but now he's the president of baseball operations. He's got a new man on his staff, another friend of the show.
Yes.
Here is Alex Anthopoulos. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well. I have no idea who you guys were referring to that their hair caught on fire, and it's just making me think, man, I've been in spring training, and I have no idea what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, it's really important stuff. There's a Kiss cover band. Their name is Hairball. And they actually had a significant tour going. They tour around the United States. And the lead singer,
we think,
the guy playing Paul Stanley, during the show, his hair goes on fire, and he continues to play. Like, he did not stop. He didn't miss a chord. He didn't miss a note. He just kept playing, and his hair's on fire. So
the roadies put it out. The roadies put it out for him, and apparently it's his real hair too, and he had to have it cut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only experience with concerts and people being lit on fire were, I saw the Metallica Guns N' Roses concert at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and James Hetfield fireworks went off and basically burnt his arm.
Ooh.
And they shut down the show. So he was not as tough as the Paul Stanley clone.
Yeah.
Played through it. So.
That's not unexpected, right? Like, the main guy would be like, forget it, I'm out of here. I don't care about Montreal.
Right.
I don't care about Toronto, New York, wherever it is. But if you're a cover band guy,
right?
Like, you're
you
committed.
You need to work.
Yeah.
You got to work.
You're committed to the game. You're committed.
That's right. You love the game.
That's right. Right. And you're committed to the Braves. They're committed to you. You got a new title here. Does that change responsibilities? I mean, what has changed for you since this announcement?
Job security, contract length, guaranteed salary. I mean, being candid, the title is something I did not ask for, something that my boss, our chairman, Terry McGuirk, wanted to do. He's the boss, and I told him when he brought it up to me, I said, I'm good with, want to call me the janitor? All I care about was, who do I report to? And what are my job responsibilities, and do I have final decision-making authority on baseball operations, obviously with his sign-off as the control person. And if those are the things that are in place for me, titles and all that stuff don't matter to me. And look, from my standpoint, it was an easy yes. He's been amazing to me since I've been here. You know, sometimes things just work out, and I'm really grateful that I get to stay.
So it was that casual? He just came up to you one day and said, hey, I've been thinking about something. What are your thoughts about it? And you were like, great. We all need one of those.
Yeah, no, it kind of, look, that's basically how it developed. It's he came to me in the off season early before the off season really got going, and or it may have been in September even, I don't remember, but he just said, hey, I'd like to sit down at some point and add some years to your deal. And I said, that would be great. And we had a conversation early about it, and I had to get back to him, and we got into making moves, signing players, trying to make trades. And I didn't get back to him, not because I didn't want to be here. Of course I did. I just didn't feel it was appropriate to worry about myself or even spend a minute thinking about my status or my contract when the off season was full go. So I didn't say anything until I got back from the holidays and things got quiet. And, you know, he asked me to follow up. And from that point, we got it done in a day or two. It was pretty quick. I mean, I knew the minute he said, I want to extend you, it was going to get done. I told him that right away. I've never been one to chase the money or negotiate. You guys have heard this before. It's about who you work with, who you work for. If those things are in place, the money and all that stuff takes care of itself, and you're happy going to work each day. And if you are, you're pretty good chance you're going to do well at your job.
With Alex Anthopoulos, so at what point during the negotiation, then, did you demand John Gibbons gets a job within the organization?
Yeah, so you know what? Dana Brown, who was, you know, with the Toronto Blue Jays for a long time, knew Gibby well. He approached me about wanting to hire him. And look, I love Gibby, obviously. But at the same time, I was worried about just the optics and all that. I mean, it wasn't, you know, you do things like this, people think there's a manager in waiting and stuff like that. And
right.
That's the last thing I wanted. So my first reaction was, I just don't know that I'm comfortable with it. Not that I don't think he's great, especially as an evaluator. What made sense to me when he brought it up to me, because Gibby's someone that obviously manages, and you can get into what your thoughts are on how he does that, but it's a rare thing when you have someone in that spot who can evaluate and can get the players right. And over the years, he's just very good at evaluating. He could identify guys to get rid of, trade, guys to keep. And, you know, it's probably 8-9 years now of being around him. He was right a lot. And he just has a very good eye for talent. It's not something you would think of as a manager, but the people that work with him saw it. Dana saw it. And we're trying to get the best talent evaluators that we can. And he's obviously a great guy. People like to work with him. And he's got a ton of experience. So, you know, we talked about it a little bit more. And I called our current manager and just told him about it. From that point, he said, look, I could care less. I love Gibby. Everyone loves Gibby. And he's going to be on the Dana reports to Dana, works with him. Dana basically dictates his employment, his work schedule, all that kind of stuff. So, obviously, I love the guy. I think it's a great hire. But I'm big on, I've always been this way, the people that run departments, I let them run departments. That's the only way I can help hold them accountable for what they're doing. So I don't interfere. I don't have people hire anybody on my behalf. If I want to hire someone, they'll report to me. Otherwise, you're running scouting, development. Your show, if I'm not happy, you can't come back to me and say you didn't allow me to hire who I wanted or do what I wanted to do. If you give people autonomy in their departments, you can hold them accountable at the same time.
With Alex Anthopoulos of the Atlanta Braves. So, obviously, we all know the prominent story in sports right now revolves around the Houston Astros. And we've talked a lot about Houston and the way that they've handled their business. But as someone who runs and operates one of the 29 other teams in baseball, when the news comes out and the punishments come out, my thought would be, if I'm running a team, I got to make sure all my affairs are in order. Like, because maybe everyone's on high alert. And I'm not suggesting the Braves have done anything or are doing anything. But did you have that same reaction? And if so, did you go through the whole organization to make sure everything is on the level in case, you know, Manfred and company starts canvassing every other team in baseball?
Yeah, obviously it's something we're going to continue to talk about. It's just like when there was the hacking scandal between the Cardinals and the Astros 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You cross-check and you check with your IT department at the time, do we have the security we need in place? So I'm very well aware of what's going on with our day-to-day operations, our advanced operations, and so on. You know, you're down in the clubhouse, you're traveling with the team. The same way this finally got out and broke, there's too many people you would ultimately have to keep quiet that it was going to come out regardless. So I'm very aware of what's going on. We have our first full squad workout tomorrow. I never address the players. I mean, maybe two, three times in 8 years as a GM, I've done it. Tomorrow will be a time that I'm going to do it. Not to spend 5-10 minutes on it, but just reiterate, if you see anything, if you hear anything, we need to know. Our staff will be in there. I mean, our clubhouse staff and so on. Obviously, though, I know how our operation runs and what we do, and I also know our players and things like that. So I know it's been a topic. I understand it has to be a topic. My personal feeling on it is it's been dealt with. It's been handled. People's careers have been impacted. People's jobs have been lost. There's been a lot of public embarrassment and shame, which I think is more impactful than anything. You have to live in the mirror, and your reputation is all you have. And I thought I saw Chris Sale's comments the other day. I thought they were great. I mean, I take the approach he has. If you have something to say and concerns, you can call people and tell them directly. And, you know I feel this way. I don't need to get in front of a camera and voice my opinions. If I have an issue with somebody or certain things, I'll normally go up to them directly or call them directly. So that's my take. I just hope that the focus now is on the game and playing. It's been dealt with. I think the commissioner did a great job because this thing, he got to the bottom of it fast. We got all the answers that we needed. It was addressed. Everyone's aware. And I think what's gone on, the punishment, the public shaming, everything else, that's as big a deterrent, I think, as you're ever going to have. So as far as I'm concerned, certainly it's not something anybody's proud of. But he dealt with it, and his group dealt with it the only way I think he could. And I think he's done a great, great job with it.
Well, the one thing that I do find puzzling is that the players themselves that admitted to doing this, none of them were suspended. I mean, the GM gets fired, the skip gets fired, but nothing really happens to the players, Alex. That's the only thing I found shocking about this whole development.
No, I've seen that, but I think, you know, the commissioner's done some media events and so on, and I don't want to speak for him. I'm just reading off what I've seen. I think he explained that the union's involved in that. They have to, you know, discuss with the union. So, you know, everything, again, I don't want to speak out of turn because this is way above my pay grade. But there's obviously a lot of layers to this thing, and it's been explained that it's not that simple. There's an element of getting to the facts, getting the information, guys being able to get immunity and so on, so they can get to the bottom of it and get the information. And that's what it was about. I think it was about getting the problem solved and getting it fixed, not about trying to keep score. I think it's about making sure this does not ever happen again. It's addressed. Everyone knew what went on. It was made available. The world knows what happened. And that we don't ever see anything like that.
How confident are you in your team this year? I know Freddie Freeman last year, when it was over, he said he thought they had the team to go all the way. You still confident in your group and looking forward to this season?
I am. You know, that being said, I think I've said this before, too, as a GM, at least I think a lot of us think this way, in any sport you're in, your job is to worry. You know how hard it is to win. You know how competitive it is. Our division was the only division with four teams that were 500 and above. I think everybody got better. The Marlins certainly did a lot this offseason to get better. And I agree with Freddie that last year we absolutely had a team that was capable of getting to the World Series. We played the Nats really well all year. We won the division, especially down the stretch. We played them great. And I think we won 7 of our last 9 against them. And you know, we obviously got bounced in the first round. The first 4 games of the Cardinals series, I mean, game 5 was a throwaway, but we had leads in the 8th inning, and we only won 2. Considering how it went during the season, home field advantage, no guarantees. But fast forward now to 2020, still think we have a fantastic team. That said, like everyone will say, we need to stay healthy. Guys need to perform to their capabilities, but I think the division is going to be a grind, and I'm constantly worried. I know our staff is always worried about depth and injuries and all those kind of things, so it should be a good battle.
Well, best of luck getting through the spring and into the season. We always appreciate you finding time for us, and congrats on the new title and the security and all that, and I'm sure we'll do it again down the road.
All right, guys, really enjoyed it.
There he is, Alex Anthopoulos, the GM and president of baseball operations with the Atlanta Braves. And for those wondering, Gibbons is a scout.
Yeah.
An amateur scout.
I like that.
I'm glad he brought that up because I hadn't thought of that. Like,
manager and
yeah, if you're the current manager, you're like, wait a minute, Gibby's now in the fold. Like, that's his guy.
He'll be in his ear all the time.
Right.
I can do better. I can fix this. I can fix that.
Oh, you know how it is. There's a, like.
But that's going to happen even if he's not employed.
Exactly. But it's still, I like the fact that he went to the current manager and said, listen, you know, this guy's getting hired over here.
But by the way, if he does can the manager, guess who's getting hired?
Might be the old amateur scout.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, he would be in the running for sure, but.
How do you think Dusty Baker's handled all this?
Honestly,
I have no idea why he's even put out there. It's so unfair to him.
This speaks to a reputation and how you build it. You know, by all accounts, easiest guy to like.
Yeah,
incredible
he's had a smile
respect
on the whole time. And just
but kind of sold his soul, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I know that's harsh, but didn't you sell your soul? Like, you took the money. You took the job. You're going to try to win a World Series with a really good team.
Right.
But he's probably got a lot of money. He's been in baseball a long time. He's 70. Why did you have to put yourself out there to be like, okay, I'll be the front for them?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's almost like go hire someone, like an intern for a year, and then I'll come in.
Right.
So in a way, I feel for him, but I'm also like, why would you put yourself in that position? Why take that job with this team? Like, why wasn't there managers that are like, we're not doing
it? There's probably no other job available for him.
Well, that's exactly
why. What it
exactly
is.
Why. But
for him to be answering any questions and then saying, like, lay off these guys? Like, come on.
He has to say that, though, and the league has to protect them.
Yeah.
Has to. You know, like, you see it, you know, criminals that are walking into court, you can't just go up and sucker them.
Yeah.
You're going to get arrested for it.
Yeah.
You have to protect the Astros as much as you don't want to and people don't want you to.
Agreed.
You have an obligation to do it.
Yep.
Steve Phillips will join us. We'll get back into this a little bit more in the next hour. Back into the All-Star game, back into the Maple Leafs weekend. They've got a tough week ahead in Pittsburgh tomorrow at home against Pittsburgh on Thursday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we have a pair of Maple Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs taking on Vancouver February 29th. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: his former Maple Leaf amassed over 400 points over the course of his career. 400 plus.
Matty Stajan.
Stage had to hit 400. I don't know if he did, though. He played just over 1,000 games.
Darcy Tucker.
Tucker, I think, is over 400.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. There's your clue for today.
Now, it'd be somebody like Billy Berg.
I don't think he hit 400. Mark Osborne, did Osborne hit 400?
I'm just happy I'm a five-time 20-goal scorer. I had no idea.
Could be you again. You had over 400 points.
496.
No, Billy Berg had 100.
I had zero.
120.
I had zero points. Noodles, did you ever pick up an assist? How many points did
Pretty
you have?
Sure. I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
Over under 9.5 points in your career.
Under.
9.5 points? No, no. I would have been... That's way under.
Okay, 4.5. Over under 4.5 points. I'll say over. A second assist? You dish it to somebody and right, up to
even,
a game?
I don't even know if they have that. Do they have that on HockeyDB? I don't think they do.
They wouldn't have your points, but you got to be able to find it somewhere.
It probably hit your helmet and then onto Pronger's stick and he sprung somebody
loose. Yeah, I'm sure I got an assist.
I'll bet you have over 5.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I'm over on the 5.
I didn't handle the puck that well. I'd get out and stop it. That was it.
Yeah, you just gave it to Pronger. Pronger got you 5 assists.
I know for a fact that in the minors, I had an unreal tape-to-tape pass that sent a guy on the breakaway for a goal. Kip Miller.
Kip Miller's a great name and good player.
Do you remember Kip Miller?
American, wasn't he?
Yeah, there was the Miller brothers and Kevin and all of them. And it was a cross-corner dump. I grabbed it, put it down, and I saucered it over a guy, dropped it on his stick for a breakaway. He went in and scored, and then he came back and high-fived
me. Did you ever take a run at the empty net?
Once, and I hit Jamie Rivers between the eyes and gave him 6 stitches. It was another cross-corner dump, and I went to fire it through the middle, and Rivs was skating back and turned right into it. I hit him between the eyes. He dropped, got back up, and it was a garage sale. There was blood everywhere. It was in the minors. He ended up getting called up after the game. So I gave him 6 stitches before he got on the plane.
The grappler is claiming. Now, I want more research done here that you had 3 points in your career.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I don't think that's right.
I think so. I don't know where you find that. Oh, there. Assist, yeah.
Three?
Yeah, one with Calgary, one...
That's fake news. I think he had more than
one
that.
One with Minnesota and one with the Islanders. All right. That sounds about right.
There you go. All right, good
Do
stuff.
Do you know the three guys that scored?
No. No, it would be like me setting up the puck and then...
Yeah, like a quick pass up on his breakaway.
No, it's not direct passes.
All right, we are going to debut, to begin the next hour, the fastest 10 seconds in sports.
Can you give him 20?
The fastest 10 seconds in sports. XFL with a full-blown XFL update. And you're going to want to hear this. All right?
He's got 10 seconds. It's got to be good.
All right. He will be on the clock to start the next hour. Steve Phillips coming up back into the Maple Leafs, back into the NBA All-Star Weekend. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.